Father, we just thank you, Lord. First of all, we thank you for such a fun night of fellowship last night, Lord God. I thank you that we can just have fun and just feel so comfortable around each other, Lord God, and just feel like, I just felt like I was around family last night, just close family, Lord, and I thank you for that. And I just thank you so much for opening up our home and just blessing all of us, Lord. And I pray this morning that we're able just to just to worship and just have fun. Amen. Amen.
Trust ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power.
Pray, Lord, that as we're singing, Lord, it is just an awesome offering to you, Father. That as we're singing these songs, Lord God, we're retelling the story, Lord. I pray that during this Christmas season, Lord, I feel funny saying it sometimes because, Lord, our Christmas season is all through the year, Lord God. But I know that this is when the world tries to join in and celebrate it to you, Father. I pray that as we do this, Lord, we just really are able to lovingly explain to others, Lord, that what this time is really about. We're celebrating birth, Lord God. The birth of the Messiah, Father, the one that forgives our sin and washes these awful things away and gives us hope and joy. And Father, I pray that you just give us the right words, Lord, and the right actions to portray that to people, Lord. It's fun to give each other gifts. It's fun to have parties and things like that, Lord God. But I also do just pray, Lord, that as we do those things, that we don't lower our standards for witnessing, Lord God. That we still have that standard that's up here showing what Christmas is all about.
A child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Emmanuel, Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness, from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this.
Of our dear Savior.
so true that your power and your glory forevermore proclaim. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that we have a hope that we can hold on to. And that we can have joy that's eternal, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that while there's just so many religions out there, Lord, and so many different teachings, that we have a God that came down to us in human form, so lowly and so much as a servant that loves us and became one of us. Lord God, that's such an amazing story, Lord. And I praise you. And that's why I choose to follow you. You've given your Son to us, Lord, to die for us and to take our sins, Lord God. And I've never heard of anything else like that. That you give your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us and loves us and corrects us to have a relationship with us, Father. And that you do love us as a father. I praise you. And I pray, Lord God, that as we move forward, Lord, that we can encourage those that have a really hard time during this season, Lord. And remind them that they are loved, Father. And I pray that we can just feel your Spirit, Lord.
Okay, so I'm just saying, first off, it was wonderful how many people we had at the Christmas party.
Thanks.
And even my family got home late. I snuck out of there halfway through or three quarters because I wanted to go study, and that didn't work out so good because I went all the way to South Sarasota to study, kind of get alone, and some people saw me there. Hi! Hi! So, but that's okay. The Lord knows. So anyway, it was such a wonderful thing that Sue would open up her home like that, and it's amazing how we fit like 75 people in tiny air. It was amazing. But I just have noticed, I noticed that Gary's taking names because there's a lot of people playing hooky today. That's all I'm saying. A lot of people. So can you guys all get an A and an extra star on the board? Absolutely. Oh, Amber is coming in, so she gets a star too. She gets a star. Okay. All right, so let's. That's okay. So thank you guys for doing that. Let's go over some announcements and things like that. But first, I want to know something. Does anybody know? I'm going to ask it. What does VOD mean? Remember that Vic Hayes VOD? What is that? Phrase? Is that what it means? Thank you. Okay, I'm just asking. All right. I feel like I can do that. Okay, you guys know? Well, we've got some free Panera bread there. So we like to feed your bellies, but also feed you the Word of God. And so if you'd like to grab that on your way out, there's tons of it in the back, unless it's already been snarfed by the people who got here early. It's free in Jesus' name. Also, with the arrival of Jasper Edmund Solomon Smith, and Eaterama, they need some help with some meals. And so this church has been doing meals almost every night. But we need a few more people. And so if anyone else would like to volunteer, you can either go online. There's a little website that we send out, or you can talk to Rebecca, and she's setting up meals for them. So if you want to do that, just bless them and see the baby and encourage them, the Lord. It's a wonderful thing just to encourage this new family. I'm so proud of watching this family grow in the Lord. It's been amazing. Oh, and also, okay, we did a baptism last week. moment, you guys. And I just said, hey, if anybody can make it, just to support everybody, a lot of plans. So there was at least, I would say, 30, 40 people at our house. So thank you guys for doing that. Wonderful. And Rihanna got baptized and after we chiseled the hole through the ice in our pool, it was really a wonderful time. So God just did it. Cool work. And so thank you, Jesus, for her. And so pray for her. Somebody told me she was already witnessing, so that's really just cool. And it was just a really good time. So thank you just for coming out and supporting her and doing that. Also, some things. Winter Jam is coming. That's right. There's two bands, new song, 1,000-Foot Crunch, Over the Paces, Brit Nicole, 10th Avenue North, Peter Crowder Band. $10 at the door. If you'd like to go. Right? And also on the Jingle Run, this is coming on a Thursday night, December 22nd. And so it's a 5K run and walk if you would like to join us. It's $35 for the t-shirt, a little buffet dinner afterwards. It's a lot of fun for family. If you want more information, see myself or Uncle Tom. Wait, somebody's saying wait.
Did you say for family?
Huh? 35
per family?
Hold on, no, 35 per person. But it's family. I know, okay. I know.
Yeah,
I don't set the price. I don't set it. I don't set the price. But you do get a really cool t-shirt.
I'm really excited about that. Starts at like 6 o'clock.
I'm going to be sucking wind.
It's going to be so cool. We get to run in the dark.
Okay, and just for anybody who wasn't here last week and didn't get it, and so our Christmas Eve service and family dinner and catered here by who we don't know yet, but catered dinner at the Word here at Home Fellowship Church. We're going to meet Saturday evening from 5 to 7. We're going to have a dinner here. You can just come for dinner, and we're going to have a word, and Josh is going to share the Christmas message, Christmas Eve, so there'll be no service on Sunday, so you can relax, be with the Lord, be with your family. So we'll be doing that Christmas Eve, so make sure you mark that in your calendars. And as always, we love to equip the saints. And so we have our sermons and Bible teachings online, and also some other teachers, because there's a lot of other teachers that are better than me out there. We have some of those on our resource website. Somebody was at the house last week, a wonderful couple, the missionaries who, I forget, 30 years or something like that. They wanted to join the church. Of course, we don't have any official membership, so I said, okay, you're in. You know. So. Great. You're welcome here. That's it. So, but they said that they've been listening. I had no idea. They've been listening online, and they just really loved just the Bible teaching and the worship, and so they wanted to join. So it's just really I just asked, well, how did you even find this? Because you're the third page now on Google. We've been going through everything. So thank you, Lord. So God, this is amazing things. Also, we have a loaner library back there in the back room to the left. Check out Christian books, audio CDs, Christian family DVDs. You guys can grow, be encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. Kids, Christian kids DVDs, all free in Jesus' name. You rent them out. We don't rent them out. Get them free for 2 weeks. I just bring them back. Sign money. You know what? Where's Hezekiah or Elijah? Are they in here?
Hello.
They're
down the road here.
Can I do me a favor? I don't know if I brought the books. I think I forgot them. But just in case, would you look in my back seat real quick, please?
Okay, and if you did, I'll just tell everyone to do the shame thing.
That'd be perfect. Thanks. Hey, just out of curiosity, though, I have a couple more of these books. Just out of curiosity, who has read this recently? And can you share? Okay.
I'm reading it.
Okay, you're reading it now?
I haven't.
Could you just share anything? I mean, do you like it? Do you not like it?
Oh, I love it.
Okay.
Testimonies of how the Muslims were persecuted. I mean, how the Christians were persecuted by the Muslims, and how they're. The Muslims are taking note that these Christians are right on fire for God. I can't recall.
That's okay. That's okay. That's okay.
You know, but that is just great. I've only been in just shortly.
Okay.
You know, so, yeah.
Okay, good. Anybody else? Have you read? Okay. Okay, so hands. Go ahead. You're what?
I read it a few, like the first time you handed them out.
Yeah.
And it just absolutely captured me. Like, I read it within 24 hours. It was like, I mean, I haven't read a book like that that just was so meaningful. And I just could not put it down. The stories of how, you know, Jesus would come to them, especially in their dreams, and they knew of him, but had never, you know, really knew him. But in the dreams, they knew it was him. They just knew. And then especially how, with every single person that Jesus came to in a vision or a dream, he also offered someone who was already established in the faith to disciple them. And, you know, and it was kind of amusing how the people were like, you know, this person's talking to me, and then they come to realize that I saw you in my dream.
That's right.
You know, Jesus told me, or, you know, whatever. It was just an absolutely amazing book to read. And it really, I think, changed my heart a little bit about the Muslim people as well. It helped me to have a better understanding and have more compassion towards them and understand they just don't know.
Somebody else.
I read the book a while back, and I was really blessed by it, but I had recently just found that, heard that in Iran, one of the largest revivals are happening in Iran. Thousands upon thousands of Muslims are coming to the Lord in Iran. And I'm even blessed to be able to minister to some of them online through my GMO ministry. So it's very risky for them. Their lives are at stake there. So when they give their heart to the Lord,
it's everything,
and it means a lot. So many are losing families and friends, and their lives are in danger. But it is a wonderful, wonderful thing to see what God is doing in the Muslim community.
I saw another person that told me, they said, not here right this moment, but they said, this whole book changed my perspective. And they did the same thing you did. They said, I just started reading it a couple of days ago, and I just couldn't put it down. And it's like, God really is, it challenged me and inspired me in it. You know, God, and that's what God does. Another one of the youth told me after they're reading this book, one of the teens, they're reading through the book, and then Uncle Tom, your sermon on Thursday on compromise, they said, man, I'm reading this book and I'm hearing that teaching, and they just realized, I'm just a young man, I've been compromising all my life, and so God is really speaking to people, you know, through the book and through the word. And so I just want to encourage you too, if you haven't, Lord willing, I'll bring it for you next week, and we'll hand out a few more. I've handed out about 20 of them, and so it's just a free gift in Jesus' name. This church wants to encourage and equip you, and so it's Voice of the Martyrs, just a good group of folks, Tom Doyle, and Tom.
Yeah, also, God is revealing himself through visions and dreams, but there's ministries out there, and I know one of them is called Iran Today. It's in Texas, and there's ministering the gospel and also teaching 2 million people a week in Boston in their own language. So they're not only getting the gospel through dreams and visions, but also being fed because they can't, because missionaries are hard to get there. But God's word is still getting through.
Amen. Now, if anybody else, since I can alleviate my guilt, I still have two more. This Present Darkness is a great little picture of spiritual warfare. I had somebody told me on Thursday how they just love this book. I have a couple left. If anybody would like one, it's a free gift in Jesus' name. It will open your eyes to spiritual warfare. Good. Anybody else? One left? Going once.
Leave it on the couch. Somebody else get it.
Put it right here.
Just encouragement about that book is I read that. It was required reading in high school for me 25 years ago. And I read that book as a senior in high school. And I have only ever read it once. And it still affects me. Whenever somebody talks about that book, I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, even when I pray, I still just, like, those memories of reading that book are embedded in my head, and it does help me pray. It helps me understand the power of praying and what is happening in the spiritual realm. It's intriguing, and it's, wow, very powerful.
So we're putting this right here. So if the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart, it's going to leave it right there for you. In Jesus' name, just come up and grab it anytime, even if I'm talking. Okay, a couple other things. We have helping to equip. If anybody wants one of these CDs on man's responsibility and God's sovereignty, we'd be happy to give you one of those. Let's see if I still have any of those left. Does anybody want any of those? We've been handing those away. We got a few more. Okay. This is from a guy by the name of, he's going to be with the Lord. This is a guy from the name of Bob Hoekstra. And he's really solid. He loves the Lord. And it's just how the Bible teaches both God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. Anybody else want one? Sorry. Like family, we're just hoping everybody grows in the Lord. That's the main thing. Okay, here you go. Jesus' name. Anybody else? Yep, you got it. Okay, now this one. This last one. I know, hey, this is part of equipping, though, guys. That's right. All the teaching doesn't come from me. You know, I just want you guys to grow in the Lord so that you, you know, because the more you grow strong in the Lord and His Word, the more you're going to magnify the Lord. The more you're going to reflect His image to other people. That's what people need to see. People need to see a changed life. They don't need to see you still stuck in the sow and the mud and the muck. When Jesus saves people, that's what He does. He rescues them from the muck and the mire, pulls them out of it, and puts them on the rock of Christ Jesus. That's what it's all about. I am changed. I have been redeemed. I have been saved. That doesn't mean I might have stumbled occasionally. But God has changed my life. He's a saving God. He's a delivering God. Amen. And so this, too, this is something I want to share with you guys. And I am asking you, this is probably the best teaching I've ever, have you ever heard Tony Evans on the radio?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Tony Evans. He does great with illustrations. I met him some years ago. But anyway, he did the best teaching I have ever heard in all my years as a Christian on a biblical response to race. Okay? Now, right now, there's a lot of division in the country. Okay? You know, you've got, hey, what is this? You know, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. You know, there's a lot of different animosity, and how do we handle that? And I tell you what, I made a bunch of these. So, Wendy Jo, can I ask you to come up here? I am asking you. It's called Race, Culture, and Christ by Dr. Tony Evans. And I'm asking you each to take one.
Is that a CD or is it?
It's a CD. You'll be able to play it in your car. I would like to, will you please just deliver that, or I'm asking you to take it. The best teaching on race I've ever heard in all my life. And I think coming from him, too, from the Urban Alternative, man, it hits right to the heart, right in the face, and it's so solid. So please, 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 how do we respond to these things? How do we do it biblically? How do we do it in a godly way to race? Okay. This is so solid. I'm asking you, almost begging you to take it and listen to it in Jesus' name. Yep. I can't make you. That's about as much as I can do. And so...
you look like a lot on the...
She's passing that out. Please, please, please. Yes. It is exactly 49 minutes, I think, and 13 seconds.
Thank you.
13. I want to be accurate. Now, if I'm wrong, you guys can correct me. It was 48 minutes. Yes, I will. I have not. That's a very good idea. Except I put down the clicker. See, that's my problem. Okay, she's handing that out. You guys know we meet here for prayer. About 9 a.m. Gary with Gary. Now, there's also a Christmas party. Women's Christmas party?
On Tuesday.
Would you mind standing up? And Nate, would you mind bringing up that microphone?
Another business party.
Huh?
Right. 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 Only door skirt.
Now, yes.
Now we don't see that.
Okay, so it's a very impromptu party. So if you have any questions about it afterwards, you talk to Lisa, you talk to me. We're going to be very casual, pajamas and our fine jewelry. And we're going to do.
And with it is a women's Christmas party. What day?
Women's Christmas party Tuesday at.
What time is it?
10:30.
6:30, thank you. It's important to do that. Okay, at 6:30, and then we're going to watch a movie together. It is a Christian-based movie. It has a story of salvation, and also has a little love story in there for the ladies. The men don't have to watch because they're not invited. We're going to do a salad. So we're going to have basically a salad bar. We'll have lettuce and shredded chicken, I think.
Did we run out?
Maybe rotisserie chicken. And then just bring like a side of salad. Like cut tomatoes or cheese or whatever. Just bring a side. Very simple. Just bring along. I'm going to have punch there as a drink. We're going to do popcorn for the movie. And she's going to bring the air popcorn popper so that we can all eat it. Not worry about calories and such. Is that everything, Lisa? Okay, this is everything. If you have any questions, please just ask one of us.
Hey, I have a question. Okay. Can you bring your daughters? Can you bring your granddaughters?
Yes, good question. Yes, you can bring all of the girls. All of obviously, if you have a little sign, you can bring them too.
The stick away on it.
No, no.
Now, do we have enough to give away to everybody? Did everybody get one of those that want? No, so I have to bring more next week.
We ran out.
That's amazing. We made 30 to 40 copies. So 30. Thank you. We'll bring more next week in Jesus' name. George, I'm telling you that now. Maybe another 15.
Yeah.
Okay, well, a lot of people are gone, so I mean,
that's great.
All those people that are gone.
Yeah, you better make more
maybe
than 15.
20. Yeah, maybe 20. Yeah, maybe make
20. 500.
Give me back the master.
Well, let's get. Oh, wait, anything else? Thursday night barbecue Bible study.
Woohoo!
We have a nice, it's really a great time. The kids are out playing. The dinner is always awesome. And then we just get into the word. We're in 1 Kings this Thursday. So you're welcome to come to that.
Question.
And then, anything else?
You have a question.
Oh, yes, question. Let me go back. Yes, ma'am, question?
Two questions.
Okay.
You had a question?
I was wondering, when will you be back up?
Yes, well, Amanda, Penny, and Josh still just had their baby, so probably we'll have to ask them as, you know, being their
first
parents. So, yeah, probably be sometime after the first year. Probably will be in December.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, second question.
Did
you what?
Did y'all do this past Thursday?
Absolutely we did. Yes, we missed you. I don't remember.
Yes, they were, and we had tacos.
Yeah. Yes, it was awesome, actually. Yes. That week, yes, we're not going to have it, yes, but I'll make that. Yep.
Exactly. Got a hand back here.
And I just want to say, oh, sorry, Darrell, yes.
Do you want to make the announcement about the table I'm setting up next Sunday?
Yes, okay. And listen, if you guys need any, there's some amazing wood carvings that Daniel is donating, and we're going to be selling them next Sunday, and all the benefits are going to the Christian school so that we can kind of expand it to take in some more kids. We've got tons of families who want to come into school. We're just full. Everything is full. And so God is just doing amazing work. In fact, we took our kids out on a field trip Thursday. We were down by the planetarium. And so the kids were all playing. We were having lunch after we went there. And I saw somebody from that lives around here, and they go to a different church down the road, and they said, "Wow, I can't believe what is happening to your guys' church. What God's doing there." I said, "I know, it's crazy." Then somebody else who was there goes to really a mega church. Here said, "Yes, I know. I've heard you guys just started a Christian school," and all of our kids ran by. It was like 35 people. I said, "Apparently so." And so all the kids are playing with all the kids, so nice. And then a mom. This is so cool. A mom comes up to me and says, "She's like, I want to find out." They had a little 3-year-old, and I said, "How do I find out more about your school, Christian school?" And I said, "Why? What do you want to know?" She's like, "How did you?" About it. She's like, "My kids have been playing with all your kids, and they are so kind. They are so nice. I just can't believe it, and I want to find out more. I was like, wow, thank you, Jesus. So be encouraged. Continue to pray for all those wonderful servants who work for basically nothing. Some of them do work for nothing, and that God continues. Okay, we are in the book of Romans, chapter 10, my friends. We just went through Romans chapter 9. Thanks, Chris. Talking all about the sovereignty of God. And the first eight chapters of Romans. Oh, I'm sorry, yes. We're in Romans 10, but this is my recap. So you got to give me your minute recap. And so the first eight chapters of Romans was incredible doctrine of salvation, how it's for everybody, and then how God's love, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And then so that kind of begged the question, well, what about Israel then? If nothing separates us, has God totally rejected Israel, you know? And he said, you know, and so... So we went through chapter 9, you know, about God's, talking a lot about God's sovereignty. It was, you know, I don't even want to say that. But a reoccurring argument that confronted Paul, like in his ongoing dialogue with his Jewish brothers, you know, was this. If Israel had all this immense spiritual privilege, if they had the word, if they had all this stuff, and they're rejected, then God's words failed. And so Paul answered that in 9, because God's word hadn't failed. And Paul's answer was that throughout history, God has made sovereign choices. He repeatedly demonstrates that he's sovereign based on his foreknowledge. You know, thus he chose Abraham out of no people group, out of Ur, and made a people. He sovereignly chose Isaac over Ishmael. Isaac, a child of the promise, over Ishmael, a child of the flesh, you know, our fleshly ways. He sovereignly chose Jacob over Esau. And even they were both stinkers, Jacob and Esau, right? Jacob's name means trickster, liar. I mean, they were both little stinkers. But, you know, Jacob wrestled with God, and, you know, and he broke. You know, he broke and he followed the Lord. In fact, you know, God even changed his name, you know, being governed by God. And so, you know, and Esau didn't care about his birthright. And then we talked about Pharaoh, you know, and God's sovereign choice. We talked about God's justice and mercy, how he can show mercy on who he wants. He's God. We talked about even with Pharaoh, though, with hardening your heart, even with God's sovereignty. And everybody brings that up, how we looked at that in the Bible. And half the time, there's different words used for hardening of the heart, right? When we're talking about when Moses was delivering the people, God's people. And half those times, was 20 times or so, half the time it was God hardening a heart. And half the time was Pharaoh hardening his heart. And so we see, even when they're talking about God's sovereignty, we see man's responsibility in that. And there's different words. We saw the word kaved was one of the words we looked at last week, which means thick, heavy, dull, desensitized. And when we harden our heart to the gospel, or when God is giving you a word in his word for you, and you say, no, I'm not going to listen to it, no, I don't, that's what's happening to your heart. It's becoming thick, dull, desensitized. And that's what Pharaoh was doing. And so eventually God's like, okay, you want to do that? You want to go your own way? Well, then I'm going to harden your heart. The word in Hebrew is kazak. And that means to make firm, to harden, or to confirm. So God's saying, okay, you want to do that? You want to go that direction? You want to keep doing that? We're going to harden it completely. But even showing that God's sovereignty, you know, we still see man's responsibility in it. We saw that he was the potter. We're the clay. You know, he knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows all things. And so he can make and shape us in whatever way we want. Whatever way he wants, rather. Our responsibility is just simply to be moldable and responsive. When God's doing a work in your heart or on you, you have two choices. You can harden your heart, and when God molds, you're going to break. You're going to crack. Or you can be soft. Let him mold you. Let him be responsive. Don't kick against the goads. That's what we need to do. That's our responsibility. We have to be responsive and to remain in the potter's hands. We can go our own way or go his way.
Didn't you say before that the water, that the Spirit, when you read the word, make it so it's like God molding you to something?
Yes. You know, and that's, if you've ever watched a potter do Pottery on a Wheel.
Yes.
You'll see him. I've watched it, and as they're forming the clay, you know, one thing that they do to stop it from getting hard and breaking is they what?
They add water.
They add water. And that's just picture that, the living water of the Holy Spirit, the washing of the water of the Word, continuing over it. And as long as you're allowing the washing of the water of the Word to wash over your heart, to wash over that dirt debris, your heart will harden. If you're being responsive to Him, if you're letting the Holy Spirit soften your heart, as you're listening to His voice, as you're wanting to obey your His commands, God will mold you and shape you and do great things through you. However that looks like. And that's what He wants to do.
Pastor, you know, DVD, which I mean, I got also, the Potter. Anybody watches that, it just gets to you. It really does.
Yes,
it really does. It gives you an analogy of what God does.
That's by Michael Sewell, isn't it, in there?
I think so.
There's a video in there, a DVD series by Michael Sewell called, The Potter. It is amazing. I saw him about 20 years ago. And so if you haven't checked that out, definitely check that out. So now we're in Romans chapter 10. That whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So God shows us all that. And chapter 10 basically talks about the other side of the coin, which is human responsibility. Because sometimes we can talk, if you read chapter 9, it seems like, well, then we can't do anything. Who can be saved, you know? But there's responsibility that we need to respond. People don't like to be responsible for things. And so chapter 10 is saying, hey guys, we're still responsible. And so let's read, let's go verse by verse through the scripture. We're starting Romans chapter 10. And I'm going to pray just because I felt like the Lord asked me to do that. So Lord, we just ask you to open our ears and our eyes to whatever your Spirit has to say. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you would give permission. If anybody feels led to speak or to share something, that we feel the freedom to do so, Lord God. If they have any questions, Lord, that you would put down their hearts that they want answered, they feel free to be able to ask them without being made fun of or whatever, Lord. Let me just go through your word together to learn more about you and to apply what you have to say to our hearts and lives. We ask that you would teach us, Lord. Not me or not anyone else in here. You would teach us by the power of your Holy Spirit. We're asking this to enlighten us, to open the eyes of our heart and eyes and our minds. In Jesus Christ's name, right now. Amen. Okay, would somebody mind reading the verse 1? Mary, do you mind if you have it open? Can you read? Do I need to hold it back for you? All right. Romans chapter 10, verse 1.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayers to God for Israel is that they might be saved.
Okay. Now, first off, This is amazing to me, because if you remember Paul was bringing the gospel, right, to the Gentiles. How did they treat Paul, the Jews, at that time? How did most of the Jews treat Paul, if you've gone through the book of Acts with us? Do you remember?
Persecuted him.
Stoned him. What else? What?
They persecuted him.
Like a criminal? Yep, they persecuted him. How? Do you remember?
Rejecting what he was teaching.
Yeah.
Stoned.
Imprisonment. That's right. They imprisoned him. Good. What else? What?
Flogged.
That's right. They flogged him. They beat him with rods multiple times. They would pursue him from town to town, fighting against this gospel that he was preaching. Now, Paul, if anybody had any right to hate somebody, I mean, imagine if somebody is like, okay, let's say I'm going to speak at this church, I go to the next church, and they bring a bunch of people, and they turn them against me, and they run me out of that church, and run me out of that town, and imprison me, and beat me, and with rods, and they stone me to death, and I mean, this is what they do. But look at Paul's heart. It reminds me, in fact, it so loves them. Look at Romans back, one chapter, Romans 9, 2 to 3. Romans chapter 9, 2 to 3. It just kind of blows me away. He says this. And he said, for I wish... I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I wish that I myself was cursed. That word in Greek is anathema. And be cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. And we talked about that. That is amazing love. That's not natural. That's supernatural. He's saying, I wish I would go just so that my people can be saved. I haven't reached that level. I love you guys. I'm willing to sacrifice a lot, but I don't know if I can say, well, I wish I'd go to hell if you'd be saved. But that's his heart. Now, how did he get that heart if he's being persecuted? Yeah, go ahead. Where did he get to? What?
He met Jesus.
He met Jesus, absolutely.
Right.
And that is true. And God changes his heart.
Jesus' love.
He says, that's right, it's Jesus' love. They said, you know what? Listen, you could have all the Bible knowledge you want, you know, and that's great. But if you don't have love, you're a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You're a noisemaker. Some of you might know people like that in your life. They got all the Bible verses, but they're so dang unloving, I don't see Jesus. Jesus said, they'll know that you and I are his disciples by our knowledge,
by our bumper stickers,
by our Christian t-shirts. By what?
Bumper stickers.
Okay, let's just be honest. We got some work to do there, right?
Yes.
Can we just ask, Jesus, will you help us to love people more?
Amen.
Will you help us to be selfless instead of selfish? Others focused instead of me focused, right?
Yes. Amen.
I think one of the things, too, that I see here in verse 1, 2, it says, my heart's desire is that they be saved. But he also says this, and my prayer to God. You know, the Bible says a lot about prayer. But I think prayer, this is maybe one of the things that actually changes Paul's heart towards these people. Mm-hmm. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he wants us to pray continually, okay? It says, that's what it says, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He wants you to be in prayer. You've got neighbors. You've got friends that are lost. Every person that comes in the door, man, I pray, Lord, before we get here in the car, and I'm not saying, look what I do. I'm simply saying, this is what we do, okay? You do whatever you want. I ask, Lord, will you show me one person that I can encourage today when I get there? Will you let them see you through me? Will you help me? Will you put me to somebody, right on somebody who's hurting, that I can encourage them? And we all prayed that as we're coming here today in the car. I would ask that you would do the same. Whether you go to work, whether you go to school, Lord, will you use me? Look, if he just wanted to save you when you were done, then you'd be gone.
Right, right.
You'd be a raptor, you know, harpazo. You'd be gone. But he's got use for you. He wants to use you in this earth to reach other people. He's got a plan. So he wants us to pray continually, right? He says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, you guys know this already, 1 to 2, he says, Paul says, I urge you, first of all, that you make requests and prayers and intercession and spiritual warfare and thanksgiving be made for all people, he says. So he wants us to pray, but but he also says something else that Jesus says, and this kind of blows me away, in Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 5 really quickly. Because we are, when I get on the phone and I'm talking to somebody, Lord, help me not say something dumb. What do you want me to say to this person? You want me to talk about this now? You know, I'm constantly asking the Lord. Because I'm in need of it. So Matthew chapter 5, just a second. Verse 43. Now remember, these people want to kill him. At one time, about 40 of them fasted that they weren't going to eat or drink anything until they killed him. Imagine that. You've got 40 people that say, I'm not going to eat or drink anything until Billy's dead. I'm going to find a way. You'd be like, what? Are you serious? So listen, but this is his response. This is not natural. This is supernatural. In verse 43, can someone read that for me? Who doesn't mind reading? Okay, would you start in 43 and I'll stop you? Give me just 1 second. The handsome and talented Nate Weaver is on his way.
You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven.
Yes, that's good. Listen. He's basically saying, I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That isn't natural. That comes with only the supernatural indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When somebody does me wrong, my first thought is, oh, Lord, thank you. I love them so much. I hope they're rude to me again. Right? That's not our natural response.
No.
But the supernatural response is, okay, Lord, give me your self-control. Help me respond in a way that honors you and that glorifies you. Right? He wants us to be praying for enemies. Yes?
One way that happens is when we ask the Lord to help us to forgive that person. Because right. If we forgive them truly, the Lord gives our heart to love on them.
Now, that's a good point, Gary.
Yes.
Listen to this, guys. Luke chapter 6, 27 to 28. These are the words of Jesus. He says to love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. And we just read here that you may be sons of your Father and daughters of your Father in heaven. That's what pleases your dad, your heavenly dad. And you know, when you said, Gary, we need to pray and ask, you know, to forgive them, to pray for them, because that changes our heart. You know, there's a saying that prayer changes things, right?
Yeah.
And it is absolutely true. But I'm going to tell you something else it does. Okay? Prayer changes
me.
Right. Yes, please. Hi. We're going to put a microphone on school here. But.
When I was about 16, somebody very special in my life had their son killed by a drunk driver. They went to the prison and ministered to him. And he eventually turned his life over to the Lord.
Oh, praise God.
That had quite an impact on me as a teenager at that time.
Only the love of Christ can do that, even years later. Yes, Rebecca. Hey, we want to give you lots of exercise today.
No worries.
You're doing great, Nate.
No worries.
I just want to mention, too, that when people bring pain into your life, you know, by being rude to you or cutting off traffic or whatever, almost always the people are in pain themselves. So that's something that the Lord's been helping me to understand is when somebody lashes out on me and it makes no sense whatsoever.
Welcome to my life.
It's like, okay, like, they're going through something, so you don't need to do it personally, you know? Like, someone's a jerk to me, well, how dare they, blah, blah, blah. But the truth, just, like, kind of see past that the way God would and say, like, okay, if this person's in pain, then their response is to hurt me,
yes.
Even if I didn't cause the pain.
Yes. And sometimes, you know, we need to pray and ask the Lord to help me. Sometimes I don't want to pray for them. Just be honest.
Right.
Just, okay, just being, sometimes I have to ask, Lord, will you help me to want to pray for them? I can do that. I ask him, help me, give me a chance. And I've sometimes could have asked for that too. You know, Paul was a man of prayer. You know, he was always praying for other people, and so should we. I'm just going to ask somebody to read just the Thessalonians verses. Okay, somebody read for me. Who wants to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2, and 3? Who would read that for me? Raise your hand. Okay, Jen? I'm also going to have you read verse 3 and 10. It's up there. And then also, I want somebody to read 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, 1 to 2. Who will do that for me? That was close enough to raise your hand.
I will.
Oh, who said that?
Somebody in the back.
No, I'm going to let somebody else. Thank you, though. Appreciate it. Yes, I'm going to let you do that. Okay, so Paul was a man of prayer. But part of the reason I think that Paul could love these people is he was praying for them. If there is somebody you really who's despised you and used you, and I've had people do things to me as a Christian that I'm embarrassed to even tell you. I don't even feel like I can tell you. You wouldn't believe me. You'd be like, no way. You're like, yes way. I have to pray. I'm like, God, sometimes I pray, bless them with repentance, Lord, you know. But, you know, that helps soften my heart towards them. And so if you're frustrated, maybe you're frustrated with somebody at your work or somebody in this church or somebody at school or somebody in your house, right? Or somebody, you know what? Pray for them. Pray for them. And ask for prayer yourself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 to 3. Jen, what does that say? Would you read that?
We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers,
We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ.
And what does 3:10 say to me? Put that a while ago.
Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith.
I love that. Night and day he's praying for folks. Listen, prayer changes things. It also changes me. And I think it changes his heart and his enemies. But I think too often, well, I'll pray for others, but I won't ask for prayer for myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, people get, it's, you know what that is called? If I just be blunt and honest?
Pride.
Pride. You're not up asking for prayer because you don't want people to think you're dumb or you're weak or whatever. Well, let me just, as an example, okay, as your pastor, you know, I'm weak. I need you to pray for me. There are areas in my life that I need to grow in. I desperately need prayer. I fail sometimes. So as your pastor, I'm saying I need prayer, and I'm asking you to do the same thing that Paul has set before us, and to ask for prayer when you're in need. What is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 2 say? I forgot it over already. Okay, good. Could you read that to us, please?
As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith.
This is Paul. He saw the Lord. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, the Apostle Paul, he's been stoned and risen. And I mean, if he needs to ask people for prayer, don't you think, I'm just saying, don't you think maybe you should too?
Absolutely.
Is there any shame in that, really? Paul did. Yes.
I wonder, you know, Paul had, when he's writing here in Romans about his prayer for the Jews, he really had an understanding of spiritual warfare. He wrote back there in Ephesians that we are not fighting against flesh and blood. Okay? But against rulers, evil rulers, and authorities of the unseen world, mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in high places. He really understood spiritual warfare. So one of the things that he knew is that he did not want to be hating the Jews or anybody else.
Right.
Because they were like dupes.
Yeah.
Being duped by the enemy and used by the enemy. And he realized that. That's why he needed prayer, because he knew the forces of darkness were against him.
And what does Ephesians 6:19-20 say? And while you're looking that up, that's exactly right. Listen, that person isn't the enemy.
Right.
That you think right now?
That's right.
In that church, in your work, in your home, they're not the enemy. The enemy is the enemy.
Yeah.
You pray against him. That's who you wage your war with.
Right.
And he says in 19, pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words, so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for the Jews and Gentiles alike.
Yes.
I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador.
Yes.
So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should.
This is Paul. Pray that you give me the words. He's got so many words in here. I'm trying to figure them out. They're so deep. Mm-hmm. He's saying, hey, pray. Ask him. Yes, Chris.
Isn't that kind of what that book was about?
Spiritual warfare.
Spiritual warfare.
Absolutely.
When you read that book, you realize that, you know, people are our enemy. The devil has kind of wrapped himself around those people.
Yes,
right.
We don't like, and, you know, we don't. That's what we're fighting against.
That's right. Absolutely. And I noticed that book is gone, so praise the Lord. Isn't that great?
Okay. One more thing.
Yes.
We were talking about Paul, like, praying for the Jews to hate them.
Yes.
Paul was in their exact same position. He was them.
That's right.
Exactly them.
Right.
So when he's being pursued from town to town, he was pursuing them from town to town.
That's right. He was pursuing Christians. He was put them in prison.
Right. God gave him a special, because of his past, a special grace for that. And he does that for us too. So that even the crap we've done in our lives,
yes,
those people that do the things we did, that we now hate those things, we have compassion on those people because we've been there.
Yes, that's exactly right. And now, so for some of you who are greater sinners, and I'm just going to say I'm a greater sinner, okay? That allows me more compassion because I've been most of the places. I know what it's like.
You've been that person.
I've been that person.
You want a compassion to pray for you.
And I want them saved. I want them pulled out. Man, look, God saved me. I want you on that solid rock, too. I want you free from that sin of anger, free from that sin, whatever it is. That's okay, so we're still in verse 1. My goal is to get through Romans chapter 10.
Are you going to be
quiet? No, no, actually, I love this. Actually, this is, you know what?
No, I was
the
thinking that if yes, then yes. No,
yes. Because he has that cool sweater.
I just want to also just kind of respond even to what Heidi was talking about. You know, it's one thing to be like, you know, if I see someone tripping up in their sin, let's say with drugs or like the dating scene or whatever, it's like, yeah, I was there, that's awful. But even having that compassion for someone that's killed my child, mm-hmm. you know, like when she said that, you know, she says that impacted her, well, that impacts me, you know, because I love my kids more than, you know, not with the Lord, not with my husband, you know, I have this, but gosh, they're like the breath, like I love them so much. Could I pray for someone that was drunk driving and killed one of them, you know? So even that impacts me, you know? Like, if that happens, now that's forever to be in my mind, like, you know, praying for them, you know? Like, in their salvation and knowing they have to live with that forever, you know? So that was a really, you know, impacting me.
That's awesome. I even think some of just reading that Muslim book, you know, that Visions and Dreams, that's changed a lot of people's hearts and minds about, like, wow, that's why, you know? Yes.
Just from the other side of the spectrum, my brother killed two girls when he was 17. Yeah. And there was no life. There was no person, you know, that had the spirit in them. We were kind of literally stoned. I mean, we were attacked. And there was no compassion at all from anyone, and it lasted through my life, probably still. But I mean, yeah. Also, just think about, you know, how good or how bad you can make it for someone.
All these are good words, and you know what? I would say you think about that. How much more should you be compassionate? Somebody makes a mistake, are you like on them? Are you, you know what I'm saying? Are you slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to become angry? Are you ready for that trigger? See, you have to ask the Lord to soften your heart.
If you find yourself in a situation where you're not willing to forgive, ask the Lord to give you a heart to be willing.
Right.
Be willing.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
All right. And then it goes on, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer that God, to God, for the Israelites, is that they be saved. And you know, that's saved. Can I just, is that a popular word today?
No.
It's not to be saved.
They're not using it anymore.
Nobody likes it.
I know.
I don't want to be saved. The word in Greek is soteria.
I don't need to be saved.
I have my own truth.
I have my own truth.
I have my own superpower.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't need anybody else. Yeah.
But you know what? And so people don't want to use it. But Kent, it's in the Bible.
Right.
You need to be saved from hell.
Right.
Your sin. You're going straight down. We need to be saved. The Soteria in Greek, it means to be rescued, freed. It means to be delivered. And we need to be delivered from our sins. So they need the bad news, but the gospel is the good news, right?
Yeah.
That's the good news of salvation. We need to be saved without Christ. That's where we're going. How's it going?
I think Miss Jen wanted to say something.
Oh, okay.
I did. With both of those...
I just thought you were ready with the microphone.
With both of those examples, what I hear in both of that is one life
makes a difference. It makes such a big difference. And for anyone that's here today that thinks that the things that they do don't matter, they do. Oh, yeah. One person makes such a huge difference, for good or for bad.
Yes, can I ask a question in here?
No.
Okay. I'm not saying me necessarily, but someone in here has done or said something that God has used to help change your life. Would you just raise your hand? Okay, now take a quick look around. Look at that. So don't listen to the enemy. Like I sometimes think, okay, I should do it more. Listen, God is using you right where you're at.
Question.
Yes.
Should we do another one now? Tackle them by someone what words that the person is not in leadership at all.
What?
I think people think it's always you.
So exclude me from that equation.
And people in leadership.
Okay, you're okay, whatever, you're out. Okay. So how many people have been blessed by someone else in this church? Raise your hand. It's the same amount of hands. Isn't that cool? God's using you. Don't let the enemy think I'm wasting my time here.
Or that he only uses certain people.
Absolutely. He uses you guys way more probably than he does me. It's just that I'm up here on Sunday mornings, Thursdays, or whatever.
God can use a dog.
He uses a donkey. That's all I'm saying. All right. Okay, the same word for saved, your salvation, is in this. Hebrews. We can't ignore it, guys. Nobody likes to hear the word, but it's a true word. Hebrews 2:3, same word. Because how shall we escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? And that answer is, you can't. The exact same word is used here in Acts chapter 2, speaking of Jesus. Listen, people don't like this, but the word says salvation is found in how many?
No one else.
There is how many other names?
No other names
under heaven given to men by which we should be saved.
Must be saved.
Oh, thank you for the correction. That's right. We must be saved. There's no other name. There's no other religion. There's no other person. There's no other way. It's Jesus. It's not through this church, Old Fellowship Church. I hope you like us. It's not through me, Pastor Darren. It's not through the denomination, a Baptist, Calvary, Methodist, Catholic. You are not saved through any of that. You are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, by putting your faith and trust in him alone.
Amen.
For your salvation, for his righteousness.
Amen.
Make sense?
Yes.
Okay, now some people, we got new people here, some people get nervous, like they, when you yell, it scares me. I'm just excited. You know what I'm saying? Everyone? Okay, here we go. All right. Chris, you're doing a great job.
Yeah,
okay, so verse 2.
Next week.
Okay, we're getting a couple more verses in. Look, I really was going to go through the whole thing. Oh, don't even tell me. Yeah. I said, what are we going to do when I go through Isaiah? Like, okay. Somebody read verse 2 for me. Would you mind? Lord, do you have your Bible? Okay, well, I'm sorry. You're a Christian. No, okay.
For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge.
Okay, so that's a good word. Now, for those I know, so in case that means what I can't even said that. I know for it. All right, so let me ask you a question. Okay, so he's saying these Jews, he goes, I like that. He's even thinking of ways that he can say it. Well, I can't say they're zealous for God. You know, they're following me from town to town, stoning me to death. At least they're zealous. You know, well, they did stone him to death once.
They did stone him to death.
All right, I'll show you that later. But yes, in the book of Acts, they did stone him. And then he went back into town, I think, on Facebook.
Okay, you can get
rid of
that. Yes.
All right,
but anyway.
Go on to the next one.
Okay.
Let me know and get an explanation.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay, so he says, well, I can testify about them, but the Jews, that they're very zealous for God, but their zeal's not based on knowledge. Listen, is being zealous a good thing? Or yes or no?
It's good.
Yes.
It is.
Oh, I heard a lot of yeses, and then I heard somebody say it can't be.
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
You can be zealous for the wrong thing.
Right?
Right.
It is good. It's correct.
Right. I mean, Paul was zealous as he was throwing Christians in prison. He thought he was doing the right thing. In fact, it says a time's going to come when they're going to throw you in prison.
And
thinking they're doing God a favor.
Right.
But it's not the enthusiasm or zealousness that's at fault there.
Correct.
No.
It is
the heart behind it.
Yes.
So
this is what the word says.
Enthusiasm is good. Zealousness is good, but that is being.
So the answer is yes and no. The answer for yes is for us Christians, for those who know the truth, which is Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and life. For those who know, Romans 12:11 says this: never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Hey, it's very easy. You're saved. You put your feet up.
I don't need to read the word anymore. I just watch football all day.
You know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with watching football or you know, person of interest at night, if I do. But is that for your life? But God doesn't want you lazy. He wants you to have fervor. He wants to stir you up for the Lord. He's got a purpose and a plan for you. He doesn't want you sitting on your fat nub. I happened to look at somebody when I said fat enough. So, anybody, you know what I mean. But I'll say that to me, fat enough, okay? So, but, you know, but honestly, zeal without knowledge can also be bad. I mean, you know, I think about the Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay, they've got a cult message. They've got a cult message, but you know what? They're going door to door. I appreciate their fervor.
Yes, they
but they're given the wrong message.
Yeah.
How about the Mormons? How about ISIS?
Right.
How about the Muslims?
They're definitely
going. I'm going to blow up a restaurant full of people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm zealous for the Lord.
Blow up a church.
Yes, blow up a church.
But
they're zeal without knowledge.
That's right.
They don't know. This is what Proverbs 19:2 says. I love this. To me, it's just a subtle way of... It says, look, it is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. I'm just saying, it's not good to have zeal without knowledge, be hasty and miss the way. Sometimes in our zeal, and you guys probably know Christians, if you even do it, you know, they're so... If you've ever known somebody who's so zealous for the Bible and God, that... They're pushing everybody. They miss Jesus. They miss his heart. Have you ever known anybody like that?
Yeah.
They miss his love. They're having the opposite effect. Yes. Absolutely. Do you say that was you?
Yes.
That was you. Yes, you're a little fart. Now you're so loving and serving, honestly. That's amazing. But listen, it's not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor be hasty to miss the way. Any of you could do that too. You grew up in a church, Methodist, Calvary, Catholic, Baptist, whatever your alliance, whatever your, and you're, but if you miss the way, if you miss Jesus, you've missed everything.
Right, amen.
Listen, don't be hasty and miss the way. Matthew 7:13-14 says this. It talks about the narrow way and the broad way. It says this: enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. Don't miss that way, having the zeal without the knowledge. And by the way, John 14:6, and Jesus said to him, I am what?
The way.
I am the way.
The truth
and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Amen.
But listen, you know what? We have such a wonderful Savior. We had some new folks at the church, and they were like, yeah, I'll come to that baptism. Okay. And so they said, just tell us how to get to your house from here. Well, it's only 5 minutes away. So I start drawing this really nice map. Okay, just go down this road. Okay, this is the church here. And this is where the cafe used to be, and just make a right. Now this is 70, and it's before 301. I can't think of the name, and the Walmart is there. Walmart. Sam's on the other side. And when you hit the, okay, after about like 5 minutes, I look at the map. I look up at the man. He's just really nice. He's like one of those godly men. He's just like, and I'm just like, this makes no sense, does it?
Yeah.
No. So then I went out and I got someone, and who knows the way. And I said, just follow them. And you know what? They went right to the way. Listen, in that same way, all you have to do is follow Jesus. He knows the way. In fact, He is the way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. When we read John 14:6,
yes,
and we put the emphasis on the right word,
yes,
it makes a lot of sense. It says, I am the way.
Yeah.
I am the truth. And I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. Period.
And you're sleeping now, you're awake. Isn't it true? Okay, so that's verse 2. So why don't we just stop here? It's hard for me to say, okay? I don't know if you're wanting it, I'm not speaking anymore, but let's take a minute and any closing comments before. Okay, so two verses. I really was determined to get through the whole thing. Okay, is there any closing thoughts that anybody wants to share? I'd like to hear them before we. Okay, yes.
You know, when we're talking about being zealous, you know, I just keep thinking, you know, as humans, we can get pumped up about anything. You know, you see it, you know. You can just see how crazy we can be and get pumped up just all the time, get so excited and zealous about something. But, you know, there's nothing like, and I even think when I think about it, like when the Holy Spirit is just bringing to life your heart about something, there's nothing under the sun that compares to that. You know, it gives you chills, it inspires you, gets you to be able to do things beyond your physical capability. You know, we're talking about just even the forgiveness that we're talking about. That is all supernatural. So there's a difference between us being pumped up and excited. That all just goes away. But the next thing that our heart goes after. Yes. But when God truly puts a zealous heart in us towards something that for Him, it's there's nothing ever like that. And just that's the way I look at it, is the difference. Is Lord, fill us to the point where You have set the heart on fire for this thing. You know, for You, for what You want us to hear and after. So that's just something we can find.
And so here's the question, too. If you're not feeling that, are you being like Pharaoh when God is speaking something to you? He's bringing the word to you right now, or in your personal devotions, or maybe you're not even getting that in there to wash some of the dirt and debris off you from the world. When He speaks to you, are you hardening it in your heart? Or are you softening it? Are you allowing Him to do that? So that He can fill your heart in that way and stir that zeal. Because when we step out in faith and obey Him, and He does something that only He can do,
amen.
Wow.
You will get that blessing.
You are more zealous for the Lord. So that's why He wants to stretch you. Yeah. Yes. Good. Adam, get some more.
I was just thought, but maybe we should like read through the entire chapter to begin with, and then break it down. That's the
God. Thank you, Pastor Adam. I'll let you take over next week. You see how easy it is then? You can run the old church better. Huh?
Yeah.
That's a good word.
He has a point.
Yes, it's a good word.
Sometimes we'll put the blame on ourselves for not, you know, being as zealous as we should. But you know, there is a spiritual warfare going on.
Yes.
And a lot of us aren't even aware of it. And there is a thing called the spirit of oppression. And oppression will stay on you until you kick it out.
Yeah.
And you think maybe it's depression, or you need to have some kind of medication or something else. But, you know, sickness is because of oppression. Yes. It's a disease. And we, as believers, we need to come against that spirit of oppression, not only for ourselves, but for those around us that love us. We need to pray for each other.
Amen.
And I think that's all part of what we're talking about here even today. That if our hearts are being hardened, is it us not paying attention, or is it oppression, or is it both, or what is it? But, you know, I truly believe that my wife at this point is suffering from a spirit of oppression. He spoke to me this morning, and I'm going home and take authority over that.
Amen.
Today. Yes. But if there's anybody else, especially in this time of year, because this can be a wonderful, joyous time for a lot of people, but it can also be a time of great desperation.
Amen.
Because of the things that have happened in our lives. Yes.
Good. One last comment. Okay, Rebecca, one last. You're our last one, and then we're praying.
I was asking about, who was it?
According to tradition, that was John, the Apostle John.
Okay. No, you were asking about what was done to Paul. I think she was trying to think if that was him.
Okay.
I think I'm old and old for Christ.
And other than the sickness part, I would definitely agree with you. And there is a lot of oppression and depression that's going around at this time that we need to be in prayer against. And so, let's take a minute and let's pray right now, okay? Lord, for those right now who are hurting, Lord God, and you know who they are. Lord, I ask that you would restore them. I ask in Jesus' name that you would lead them. Lord, you're a good shepherd. You don't force us. You don't drive us. You lead us. Will you lead us beside still waters? Will you lead each one of us here, Lord, who's hurting, who's discouraged, who's depressed, who's oppressed, Lord God, right by those still waters, and do what you do. You restore our soul, Lord God, because that is what you do. You are restoring, healing, delivering God. Lord, will you heal that person? Would you heal a mind? Would you heal a heart? Would you heal a body? Would you heal the muscles? Would you heal the bones, Lord? Would you heal the thinking, Lord? That critical, stinking thinking.
Yes.
That murmuring and complaining. That laziness, Lord God. That just, you name it, Lord, that apathy, Lord. Whatever it is, in Jesus' name, we pray, be gone in Jesus' name, Lord God. And replace anything, Lord, that is not of you. Lord, even our own flesh, our selfish desires, get it out and replace it with your Holy Spirit. That's what we pray for. We pray that for Debbie. We pray for every person here, Lord. Anything that is not of you, get it out and put in your Holy Spirit. Replace it with everything that is good and true and praiseworthy and lovely. And replace it with those things, Lord. We love you. Change. Bless our thinking, Lord. Bless our hearts, Lord God, that we may be a blessing to your heart, Lord. And we ask this in the mighty, powerful, awesome name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Don't forget Tuesday, women's pajama party, Thursday, barbecue.